snowed 8 inches on Tuesday, and if you've been there and come for a walk with us, you know why people in my town love stories so much. There was a fine dim light in there. The town was full of moonlight, all the street lamps glowed, the houses were lit, light shone up from the snow on the trees. It was so shining and beautiful that it made you feel that anything could happen now. Just as I felt when my Uncle Lou sat on the couch and cleared his throat and said in his quavery voice, well, I believe this happened back in 1906 when I was in high school. Anything could happen. Angels could descend, saying, fear not, and scaring the wits out of us. Noah could ride along here on an elephant, leading another elephant, and all the other animals strung out behind. Maybe it wasn't a flood that God sent. Maybe it was winter and they were snowbound. And it wasn't an ark, it was a barn. 40 days and 40 nights would be a short winter. But in Uncle Lou's story, 1906, a house burned down on a cold winter night, and the little children inside ran barefoot into that snow of 1906. Some of them were pitched out the bedroom window by their father, and all were safe. But although I've heard the story dozens of times, whenever he told it again, I was never sure they'd all get out. And since these children grew up to be my ancestors, I had an interest in their survival. Just so, walking in this mysterious light of a warm, snowy winter night in my woke up, it's not quite certain what year this is, but it is certain that in this world that we think we know so well, and in our life that we're always talking about, there's a great mystery and powerful music playing that we don't hear, and stories full of magic, so many stories that life isn't long enough to tell them. The car goes by so quietly on the snowy street, a little cloud of snow falls when we brush by a tree, our feet crunch in the snow. In this big white house over here are the Krugers in their dark living room, watching the television and the things. They sit in the bluish light, and from their faces it's hard to tell. Goldberg's house is dark and the light is on in the kitchen. You can just about make out her plate collection in the dining room. Dozens of plates on display on shelves he built for her. And such beautiful china and majestic black walnut furniture. But the four Goldbergs always eat in the kitchen. Why have good things you don't use? The next house is Wally and Evans, who own the sidetrack tap. And next is this little beat-up blue house with plastic tacked on the windows. In the front window, you see Kenny fooling around with his kids in the living room. The room is all torn up, cushions and clothes scattered around, one kid bouncing on the sofa, three kids hanging onto him, and Kenny chasing the littlest boy, who toddles around the dining room table, his diaper half coming off. He doesn't see that his dad has reversed directions. The little boy walks along laughing, and then looks up in shock and delight. Do I like that again in life until you have a baby mother? He trembles and squeals and Kenny picks up. They dance around, and then Kenny lies down on the floor. They all crawl on him. The boy jumping on the sofa climbs up on the end table. The lamp almost falls. The dining room table is strewn with dirty plates, and the dog stands, paws up on the table, reaching for the meatloaf. Joanne is at choir practice.